Hi, everybody. If you are skeptical of the Asbury Revival, I want to talk to you. I don't blame you in general, and I want to talk it through with you for just a little bit. Now, my name is David Guzik. If we've never met before, I'm a pastor, I'm a Bible commentator. More people than anything would get to know me perhaps through the online Bible commentary I have at enduringword.com. But something else that I've had for a long time is a real interest in revival, mostly through the interest that I've had in the ministry of a man named Dr. J. Edwin Orr, who went on to be with the Lord many years ago. I've read all of his books. I've listened to as many messages as can. I feel that he is an outstanding teacher and person to understand this whole dynamic of revival and spiritual awakening from. And so, because of that, I've had a great interest, as much as I've been able to. I got a lot of things going on right now. And I've been interested in this Asbury Revival or Asbury Awakening, whatever people are calling it. And I want to give some thoughts right now to those of you who are skeptical of the Asbury Revival. Now, I'm doing this totally spontaneously. I've just written up a few notes. I've got to be on a plane in just over 20 minutes. So I've only got a few minutes for this. I hope I'm not stressing out my wife, Ingalil, too much by doing this right before we're going to go. But I had these thoughts in my mind. I just wanted to get them out there. I suppose at a totally unannounced live thing, there's going to be very few people online seeing this live, but perhaps more people take a look at it later. Whatever. I just want to get it out there for my own sake. So let me begin again. If you are skeptical of the Asbury Revival or revival in general, I don't blame you. There's a lot of foolishness that goes on in the name of revival. The Toronto Blessing, the Brownsville Revival, these so-called things and so forth, these weird things where people are, barking and clucking and screaming and laughing and all this stuff. All this bizarre foolishness, there is undeniably a lot of foolishness that goes on in the name of revival. Now, I haven't heard of really any of that attended to this Asbury revival, but let's be honest, it could end up that way. It's something to keep in mind. And then there's also many people who have been in what I would call revival hype environments. Some church circles are like this. Oh, revival's coming. Oh, revival's on the way. We're going to have a revival now. Revival this, revival that. Listen, I don't blame people like that for being hesitant. I don't blame them for being what we might call gun shy. They've heard it all before. They've heard revival announced a million times before. They've heard people try to drum up revival. They've heard people try to, I get all of that, and I'm sympathetic to it. What they maybe just want to see is they want to say, hey, is this going to live up to the hype at all? And then, thirdly, I'm given three reasons why I can see why people might be skeptical. Past foolishness that goes on in the name of revival. Many people have been in revival hype environments. And then number three, there's been reports of some things in the Asbury Revival that have troubled some people. For example, the place of women preaching. Now, I understand that's not going to trouble everybody in God's family. Some people think that's an amazing thing and a wonderful thing, but there are people like myself who believe that congregations should be led by qualified men in the body of Christ. That would concern them, the place of women preaching in work like that. Or, this is no doubt of more concern, some people have claimed there's been a platforming of gay Christians at this. People who are perhaps unrepentant homosexuals. They just identify as being homosexual. They have no idea at all of repenting in regard of that, and yet they are worship leaders or spokesmen or something like that. That's been claims made. Other people cite a lack of gospel preaching or social action in the Asbury Revival, and these are things that concern them. Now, look, I think it's okay for people to have concerns. I get why some people are concerned, and I don't think that the questions are out of order. You can't throw down the revival card and say, now everybody has to accept this. every concern is invalid. If you don't accept this completely or without reservation, then you hate the work of the Holy Spirit. Friends, you can't throw down the revival card and act as if it eliminates any potential objection. I understand that. So it's worth it. The Bible says, test all things. That's valid. But here is my caution to the revival skeptic. Okay, if this is you, and there's some people that I respect that I've seen out mainly on social media, I would regard them as being revival skeptics, or just they say, there's no way this is of God. Okay, if that's you, here's my caution to the revival skeptic. You need to also be skeptical of the bad reports about revival. Again, I don't blame you for being skeptical about what's going on there and all the good reports here. I don't blame you for that at all. But I would say this, and I would say this without reservation. You should be also skeptical about the bad reports. Now, it often doesn't work that way, of course, doesn't it? Isn't that true? People are often completely unskeptical one way or another. In other words, they'll be quick to believe every positive report about the Asbury Revival, and they will absolutely reject any negative report. That's not balanced. But there's other people that are just the other way around. They're very hesitant to believe anything good about it, but they are completely ready to believe any bad thing that's said about it. Now, look, I don't know who your personality is as an individual. Maybe you tend to be quick to believe such things. Maybe you tend to be slow to believe such things. Either way, I would just ask you to apply the same kind of thinking to both sides. If you are going to be skeptical about the reported good, then please also be skeptical about the reported bad. Who said it? Do they have an axe to grind? Is it one small part of a much larger picture? Is it truly reflective of what's going on? You see, be that way about both the positive and the negative. Now, I'd say something else as well. That I don't think that you can control revival in the way some people are kind of expecting. This weird person, I'll throw out a name, Todd Bentley. This weird person went there and they allowed him in the building. And they, listen, one of the real characteristics of true revival is that it's not orchestrated. It's not programmatic. It's not planned. There's an air of spontaneity about it. Now, if a work of God is by nature non-orchestrated, somewhat spontaneous, non-programmatic, then there's going to be a few weird things that filter through. Now, maybe there's so much weird stuff that it discredits the whole thing. Maybe so, but just don't be so quick to judge it. Don't demand revival with absolutely no mess to it. Every revival has had some mess, so to speak, to it. Now, again, it's up to you as an individual before the Lord or a Christian leader or spokesman to look at it, to carefully assess it. You can discern for yourself whether or not, if there's enough mess to say it's not of God at all, fine. That you're a free Christian man or woman to do that. I would just say do it with faithful scales, with true balances. If you're going to be skeptical about the good, then also be skeptical about the bad. If you're going to unreservedly look at the good, then you should unreservedly or have less reservation when you look at the bad. Judge righteous judgment. Because I will tell you this, bad reports, false reports go out about revival to damage it. Let me give you two examples from this man that's been such a great example for me, the late Dr. J. Edwin Orr, who I've learned so much about revival from. I recommend his website to you, jedwinorr.com. Now, two stories from Dr. J. Edwin Orr. One of them has to do with the camp meeting revivals somewhere around 1830 on the frontier of the United States. And one controversial of those camp meeting revivals was what they called the barking exercise. And the impression that many leaders give is that there were whole wide groups of Christian acting foolishly under some strange inspiration, and they were, as a group, on their hands and knees, barking together like dogs, or running around, supposedly chasing the devil, running the devil up a tree. The Christians would stand at their sit at the base of the tree and bark at the devil. Now, that idea is found in nearly every standard history of those 1830-ish frontier revivals. And let me tell you, it's false. It's a false story. And J. Edwin Orr did the research. He heard these stories, goes, you know, I want to, where do these stories begin? He traced it back. He traced it back to a man named F.M. Davenport. He wrote a book. The book was titled Primitive Traits of Religious Revivals. He wrote it about 100 years after those revivals happened, in the early 20th century. And Davenport said this, that during the Kentucky revival, there was weeping, trembling, dancing for joy. All of that's agreed upon. And then he said mildly that there was some barking, but it wasn't very common. Now, Davenport wrote, again, about 100 years after the revival happened, and Davenport gave absolutely no documentation for his statement. None. He quoted no original source. And of course, J. Edwin Orr could find no original source, no contemporary source. Then there was a professor at the University of Minnesota named Alice Tyler. She wrote a book called Freedom's Ferment in 1940. She said that there was barking at camp meeting revivals, and it was very common. And once you notice, it goes from an unsourced comment by Davenport that it happened occasionally. Tyler takes it and says that it's very common. And what was Tyler's source for this assertion in her book, Freedom's Ferment? Her source was Davenport. But friends, Davenport didn't say that. Then Francis Kern, a Jesuit historian, said that there was barking at the frontier revivals and that it was completely disgraceful. And who did he cite for sources? Davenport and Tyler. Do you see how these things work oftentimes? So Dr. J. Edwin Orr tracked down the historical evidence and he found the writings of David Benedict, who lived at the time of the camp meeting revivals. And he was present there. He said this, that the Baptists did not bark, but the Presbyterians did. Then he found a contemporary Presbyterian historian, David Rice, in his book, The History of Presbyterianism in Kentucky. David Rice said that it was the enemies of the revival who circulated the story, that those who were there at those frontier revivals denied it. Barton Stone, a Presbyterian who became one of the leaders of the Disciples of Christ denomination, said that it was an absolute fiction. He said that the nearest thing there was to barking was when people simply convulsively sobbed under the conviction of sin, making grunting noises. You know how people can do that. They just sort of get shaken up and they're making little grunting noises as they weep. The whole story of barking up a tree seems to have come from one old Presbyterian minister who was so under conviction of his own shortcomings that he stood against a tree with his arms against the tree, you know, something like this, and his head against his arms, sobbing and grunting convulsively. There was no documented barking at those frontier revivals. Now, Dr. Orr raised this whole issue at a university conference of 300 historians, and the other historians attacked him. This is what they said to Dr. J. Edwin Orr. They said, Orr, you're spoiling our good classroom fun. Why? Because they love to mock Christians and revival, and they use this false story about the frontier revivals to do it. So, you hear about strange things at revival? Okay, fine. Be skeptical about the negative evidence as well. Okay, look, I got to draw this to a close pretty quick because I got a plane to catch. But let me share one other story. This story also concerns Dr. J. Edwin Orr. It's about the Welsh Revival. And one time at some symposium, I think maybe at the 50th or the 75th anniversary of the great 1904 Welsh Revival, one critic said in his assessment, I don't know if this was written or spoken at a conference, but this is what he said. He said that at the Welsh Revival, as many souls were begot as saved. And let me tell you what he meant by that. He meant that in the enthusiasm among the youth, that young men and young women were getting together and having illicit relationships, and many young Christian girls under the influence of the excitement of the revival were getting pregnant. And therefore, he said, as many souls were begot as were saved. Well, Dr. J. Edwin Orr heard this and he said, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. What evidence do you have for such an assertion? Well, again, I'm doing this from memory, so I may not be as well remembering everything. But to my memory, the historian who made the assertion said something, well, I heard it from my aunt or something like that. Orr said, I'm going to get you on this one. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to dig into this. Orr did the research. He looked up the records of births, unwed mothers, all of that in that section of Wales during the Welsh Revival. And he found out that unwed mothers and unmarried births went down in that period, that it was a complete fabrication. Again, friends, if you're going to be skeptical about the good news about a revival, then don't forget to be skeptical about the bad news. I'm not saying that it couldn't go bad. I'm not saying that things couldn't get weird. It could be. Let's wait and see what the Holy Spirit does. I would just counsel and advise a skepticism on both sides of the issue. And let's pray. Look, if God's doing something good at Asbury and the few other universities and places where I hear that there's some kind of spread of it, then praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. It reminds us that God can do such things today. Now, if it's not, if this is something that goes off the rails, or if in the opinion of some, it was never on the rails, then let's just pray that the Lord would make that abundantly evident. But friends, if you're slow to believe the good news about the Asbury Revival, then I would just encourage you to have at least a bit of skepticism about the bad news that you hear as well. And let's together see what God's saying. I just want to stress one more time, I'm not saying it's unfair to ask questions, to examine. No, that's completely fair. We just need to do it with righteous judgment. All right, folks, that's it for right now. I've done this very quickly. I've done it with a very amateurish thumbnail. If somebody on my team, Andrea, Annie, somebody else, if you guys can put up a better thumbnail for this, please do. You'll see it was my very amateurish one. I literally got to get out of here, get in the car and drive over to the airport because my wife and I are flying to Florida for a conference. But I'm not even going to have any time to interact with the live chat. I'm sorry about that, but I thank you for viewing. And I hope that if this is beneficial to you, maybe let somebody else know about it. If not, well, then you could just let it pass. So God bless you. And thank you. Thank you so much for joining me on this very spontaneous video this afternoon. God bless you. Bye-bye.